KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Coming up, some Washington restaurants are moving forward. I'm Brian Calvert with that and the demand that more reins be loosened.
I'm Sue Romero. How Seattle will take part on a National Day of Remembrance for the thousands lost to COVID-19.
Plus an update on traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours, sports, and your money news too. After ABC covers our world, KOMO News time, 12 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 2 days to the presidential inauguration, and members of President-elect Biden's national security team met with the acting heads of national security agencies to discuss the security situation heading into the inauguration, both in Washington and around the U.S. ABC's Alex Stone is in Washington with more on the security preparations.
Efforts are underway right now to make sure there will not be a threat from the inside. 25,000 National Guard members from all over the country are arriving here, and the FBI has to make sure none is a threat. Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy.
We're continually going through the process and taking second, third looks at every one of the individuals assigned to this operation.
The president-elect and incoming first lady volunteered at a food bank in Philadelphia, a service event in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris took part in an event in Washington, D.C.
When we look at where we are as a country today, when we look at recent events, we know that the fight that Dr. King was engaged in is still a fight in America.
That fight includes health care, said the nation's top infectious disease doctor, Anthony Fauci.
We all know that in so many aspects of life, the brown and black people get the short end of the stick in things when it comes to health.
He was accepting an award from the National Action Network. The coronavirus pandemic's death toll is approaching 400,000. Governors say there needs to be more vaccines distributed. Dr. Ashish Jha, dean of Brown University School of Public Health, was asked when the general population could expect to get a shot.
If everything goes well, I can imagine the average person without those risk factors starting to be able to get access to vaccines in April or May. Obviously, if things don't get well, it'll slip into June.
Financial markets are closed today in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. KOMO Midday.
Good afternoon. It's 12:02. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now our top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center. The State Health Department reported new COVID numbers yesterday after not being able to Saturday because of a computer problem. The latest count featured 1,817 new cases of COVID-19. The agency warns numbers won't be reported again today because of the holiday. A bill has been sponsored in Olympia to move the entire state to phase two of the pandemic reopening plan, which would allow gyms and restaurants to reopen for indoor service at 25% capacity. One of the bill's sponsors said we should be cautious about reopening, but not overly cautious. Restaurants and brewery owners in parts of Washington are beginning to serve customers inside again. Kind of inside. KOMO's Brian Calvert explains.
Down in Clark County, Bolt Minster is serving customers once again at 5440 Brewing.
The hardest times for breweries is January and February.
With some alterations, he has resumed indoor service.
There wasn't a giant announcement or anything. It was just sort of floated out there by our Brewers Guild that this had changed. And it was sort of up to each of us to figure out what that meant to each individual spot.
There are a handful of hoops dining rooms still have to go through in order to open, and it really does depend on where you are. And while that's working for some, others demand fewer rules and lower taxes before they can afford to reopen. While there's no signs of fewer rules, the Washington legislature is working on bipartisan changes that would lower employment taxes for these business owners and millions of dollars in emergency grants. None have been passed yet, but many pieces of legislation are being heard this week. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
Seattle's going to take part in a national memorial to honor the hundreds of thousands of lives lost to COVID-19. KOMO's Sue Romero tells us ceremonies around the country will happen tomorrow.
Deborah Doust with Seattle Center says for the local ceremony, they'll ring the Kobe Bell on center grounds 40 times for the nearly 4,000 lives lost in our state and nearly 400,000 lives lost across the U.S.
We've rung it just on very few occasions. For instance, when the 9/11 memorial happened at Seattle Center, the bell was rung.
She says the bell ringing goes with the national request from the Presidential Inauguration Committee to also light up buildings in amber, the color of candles, to remember loved ones. She says people should not come in person to the grounds, but take part online on Seattle Center's Facebook page for the bell ringing at 2:30 p.m. and the lightings at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, as cities across the country do the same at their local times. Sue Romero, Como News.
Coming up on Como.
Officer sends a homeless person to an illegal camp. I'm Corwin Hake, the divide between policy and reality.
But first at 12:04, we check in at the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center for an update from Curtis Calhoun.
Good afternoon. Well, in North Seattle, we have malfunctioning traffic signals at the intersection of Lake City Way and North Gateway, and looks like traffic signals all four directions of the intersection are really malfunctioning there, so definitely avoid that if you can. In Everett, looks like an earlier crash eastbound US 2 at the I-5 interchange has been cleared, and so is the backup. Both directions of I-5, still a bit of off and on, slowing through downtown Seattle and Tacoma. Your next Como traffic at 12:14.
Our Como forecast now, and we get that from meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Quieter weather expected over the next few days. We'll start off with morning fog on Tuesday. Partly cloudy, though, by the afternoon, and a dry day expected again tomorrow. Tuesday night, though, could be tracking light showers in the northwest interior, anywhere from Port Angeles into Everett, north through Bellingham. Now, that all ends on Wednesday, but the cloud cover remains. We could start to see a light rain-snow mix develop in our foothill locations by Thursday morning. No snow accumulation expected, but Thursday, it's going to be a cool rain developing as temperatures take a tumble later on this week. Maybe cold enough to support a rain-snow mix across the lowlands come Sunday. In the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Seeing a little bit of sunshine still coming through the clouds, but I think we have to say that it's mostly cloudy in Seattle. 46 degrees, Como News Time. 12:06. An investigation has been launched into suspected misconduct by a Seattle police officer. An ER nurse complained in a Twitter thread that the officer repeatedly refused to wear a mask inside the hospital. Neither the officer nor the hospital are being identified right now. The Office of Police Accountability promises the investigation will be completed on an expedited timeline. A Seattle police officer suggested a homeless person find services at an illegal camp, even while the city was actively trying to shut down that camp. We get more from Como's Corwin Hake.
The story perhaps illustrates a gap between city policy and street-level reality. A body cam recording from August captured Seattle officer Mika Harmon and her partner as they arrested a homeless man for shoplifting food and shoes from a Capitol Hill drugstore.
How come you keep shoplifting? Is it just no money?
In the audio obtained by the Seattle Times, Officer Harmon has an idea. Why not get help at Cal Anderson Park, where protesters and homeless people had established a camp?
They give you step over at the park.
The irony is the park was then officially closed and the camp declared illegal. Harmon recommends the park after running through a list of options, including mental health court and law enforcement assisted diversion. Options either not available or that did not seem to meet the man's immediate needs for food and a pair of shoes. Corwin Hake, Como News.
For longtime listeners, earlier today we got to hear a very familiar and well-loved voice who left because of retirement, but we got to check in again with ABC's Ann Compton, because 2 days from now, President-elect Joe Biden takes the oath of office, the 46th person to do so.
This inauguration is so radically different from anything we've seen before. It's breathtaking.
Amanda Factor. Ann Compton, former ABC News Chief Washington and White House correspondent, has covered 10 inaugurations, beginning with Jimmy Carter's in 1977.
We believe we will see President-elect Joe Biden stand on the west front of the Capitol, raise his right hand, but no one will be there to witness it in the public except 25,000 National Guard troops in combat fatigues.
Ann told the Como Morning News it will be a startling moment for the country. She also says the absence of the outgoing president will be striking.
And he decided he didn't want to leave Washington as a former president, so he will go early Wednesday morning on Air Force One as president of the United States and leave the city.
She does not expect President Trump to leave a note for the incoming president, as is customary.
That kind of peaceful transition of power is the hallmark that the world looks to from American democracy.
Amanda Factor, Como News.
At the state capitol in Olympia over the weekend, there was a small group of protesters, mostly calm, though, and their message?
Stop the steal, Joe Biden, traitor, liar, thief.
John Hess is the only one who's shown up to protest outside the Capitol building. And on Saturday, only a handful of peaceful demonstrators showed up to Olympia.
Pull them this way!
Federal authorities warned of potential armed protests this weekend at state capitals nationwide, led by people upset about President Trump's loss in the election. Authorities did not want to see a repeat of the siege at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and the security breach at Governor Inslee's mansion.
I organize rallies. People show up.
Joey Gibson is the founder of Patriot Prayer, one of several groups that decided against coming to the Capitol this weekend.
Well, I just didn't feel like it would accomplish anything, number one. And number two, there's people that are trying to hijack these rallies right now.
Gibson says he isn't exactly sure who these people are.
Como's Jonathan Cho reporting from Olympia. Well, today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and in observance, you can enter the state parks for free without the need for a Discover Pass. The pass will still be needed to access some areas, though, so check before you go. National Park Service sites that charge entrance fees will also offer free admission. Como News Time 1210. It's time for an update on sports now from the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk. A week after firing their offensive coordinator, the Hawks apparently have at least three coaches they're interested in.
Well, the Seahawks' search for a new offensive coordinator reportedly includes three men who, until recently, were head coaches. Anthony Lynn, recently fired from the L.A. Chargers. Adam Gase, recently fired from the Jets. And Doug Peterson, the former Eagles head coach who's from Ferndale. No word yet on any timeline for the coaching hire. Meanwhile, it'll be the Buffalo Bills visiting the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game coming up this Sunday. In the NFC, the Packers will host Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, who is trying to make his 10th Super Bowl appearance. The latest AP college basketball polls released today. Gonzaga and Baylor remain 1 and 2 on the men's side. On the women's side, Washington State, after 1 week, appearing at number 25, knocked out of the poll after losses to USC and UCLA. The 8th-ranked Bruins, after an overtime win over Washington State yesterday, moved from 8 to 6. And number one for the first time in school history, Louisville, after previous number one Stanford lost to Colorado. We check sports at 10 to 40 past each hour. Tom Huntler, Como News.
Even with all the shipping delays this past holiday season, you'd think that all of the holiday gifts would have arrived by now, right? Well, that's where apparently we're wrong.
Countless shoppers still waiting for packages they ordered ahead of the holiday season. According to postal workers in the Philadelphia area, hundreds of thousands of boxes just sitting inside processing and delivery centers.
I've worked for the Postal Service for 32 years, and we've never seen anything on this level, on this scale, in the history of the time that I've been there.
The unprecedented backlog, expected to take weeks, if not months, to be sorted out.
The employees of the Postal Service are doing everything within their power. We will clear this mail. We will get these packages delivered. Just know that the people that are moving this mail are doing everything within their power to get it done.
Employee availability and COVID safety precautions made it worse, and not just in Philly. According to ShipMatrix, a company that tracks packages, more than 1 million packages of the estimated 3 billion shipped this unprecedented holiday season were delayed across the country for more than 30 days. Now the FTC warning about scammers taking advantage of the delays, sending text messages like these saying, you're being reimbursed for your delayed package, you just need to click on the link.
And this is really common right now, especially right after the holidays when people are expecting a lot of packages.
The FTC saying these phishing scams are an easy way for criminals to get your personal info.
Keep up to date on your security measures, make sure you have that software downloaded and updated at all times. To make sure that you're not downloading any malware.
According to the FTC, if you receive a text or email with a link, don't click it. Instead, log on to your account where you bought the item and file a complaint, or you can call the shipper and ask for a refund.
ABC's Becky Worley. There's a new development in one of the biggest recalls in government history. Millions of Kitty brand fire extinguishers were recalled in 2017 because of serious defects. Well, things may have gotten worse.
A judge recently ordered the company to pay a $12 million fine as part of a consent decree settling allegations by the Department of Justice. But a Consumer Reports investigation also found that Kitty may have bungled the recall, replacing some recalled extinguishers with another recall extinguisher.
If you have a recalled fire extinguisher, contact the company to have it replaced as soon as possible.
To find out if your fire extinguisher is recalled, you can go to saferproducts.gov to check the model number. You can also find more information at comonews.com.
Como's Ryan Yamamoto. Feeling blue today? you're not alone.
Blue Monday, the third Monday of January, is, so theory says, the most depressing day of the year. But is it? Research hasn't actually proved that there's any one day more depressing than others. But seasonal depression's a real thing. Winter in January, apparently the peak of it. The condition's been linked to a biochemical imbalance due to shorter daylight. So one of the easiest ways to combat this? Natural sunlight. And quarantining doesn't really help. So if you can get out for a walk in the daytime, do it.
Natalie Rodriguez reporting. Como News Time, 12:14. Time for an update on traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Curtis.
Looks like an earlier crash in Everett. Eastbound US 2 at the I-5 interchange has been cleared from the roadway, and so was the backup as well. It was causing some minor delays for drivers traveling through that scene. In North Seattle, we're still dealing with some malfunctioning traffic lights at the intersection of Lake City Way and North Gateway. Use caution and treat as an all-way stop in the meantime. Over your mountain passes, no restrictions over Snoqualmie. We do have traction tires advised over Stevens. Your next Como traffic at 12:24.
Our Como forecast now. Weather today is mostly dry. There's a chance that some of us could see some very light sprinkles tonight, but we should stay dry through today, dry through tomorrow, and probably Wednesday too. It's not until Thursday and Friday when more of us could see some showers. But really, this week is fairly dry, and it's just going to kind of get colder with our daytime highs today and tomorrow in the mid to upper 40s, and then by the end of the week, we'll be lucky if we hit the low 40s for our highs. Right now in Seattle, it's partly cloudy and 45 degrees. Como News Time, 12:15.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Taylor Van Sice. Now the headlines are following from the Como 24/7 News Center. The vice president-elect officially resigning from the Senate today. Kamala Harris turned in her resignation letter earlier today to California Governor Gavin Newsom. Newsom has already tapped the California Secretary of State Alex Padilla to replace Harris for the rest of her term. Meanwhile, President-elect Joe Biden and the incoming First Lady packing food boxes in Philadelphia this MLK Day. Biden and his wife Jill volunteered at a Feeding America event called Philabundance. Both were seen with masks and gloves on while they were loading boxes at that annual event. This morning, a fire at a homeless camp in Washington, D.C. led to a lockdown of the U.S. Capitol complex, a sign of how on edge the feds are after the January 6th attack. And by the time Wednesday gets here, an estimated 25,000 National Guard troops will be in the nation's capital to keep the inauguration secure. As Dan Lamoth reports in the Washington Post, those 25,000 troops are facing additional screening from the U.S. Army and the FBI in order to root out any potential threats. And Dan joins us on the Como Newsline. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Dan, was there a specific threat or fear that sparked this additional screening?
I think it really stems from January 6th and the insurrection event itself. Following that event, a number of lawmakers raised the concern really within a day or so with Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy. There were readouts to that effect then from the lawmakers. And we've been kind of trying to get a sense for what this screening could mean. Early on, we were hearing from some of the generals that, you know, they were tracking it, but there wasn't necessarily anything moving on it. Over the weekend, it became more clear that the FBI has taken a lead in sort of this additional layer of screening.
And up to this point, has anything come to light, or is the military keeping pretty tight-lipped?
Nothing has come to light that we're aware of from the screening. We have continued to see a handful of veterans and at least one Army reservist who has been charged as a result of the January 6th events, which puts us somewhere in the neighborhood of, I believe, about 15 or 16 veterans in a group of somewhere in the neighborhood of about 80 arrests at this point.
Under normal circumstances, when the world, you know, isn't in a pandemic, the U.S. government isn't in the midst of a transfer of power, how much screening do service members face?
So the screening comes on a couple levels. The most obvious one is as you're being recruited, there are interviews and they do things like check your tattoos, which can be a tell. There are interview questions and things of that sort. The problem is it's pretty easy to escape scrutiny on that level. So really, I think the most evident way that they could increase screening at this point would be social media.
During the attack on the Capitol, it seemed like, you know, all the different jurisdictions involved sort of muddied the waters of who was in command of the situation. For Wednesday, we already know the military, the FBI, and Secret Service have a hand in the effort of screening. A big part of the chain of command changes, though, when President-elect finishes taking the oath of office.
Yes, in terms of the security of the inauguration event itself, I think one significant difference here is that Secret Service has been planning for months, and as events have continued to grow more concerning of late, they have added additional layers, more personnel, things of that sort. The National Guard will be reporting to the Army Secretary and are really in support of the Secret Service on this particular event.
Dan Lamoth with us on Como News, national security reporter for The Washington Post. And you can always find his coverage online at WashingtonPost.com. Dan, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
President Trump expected to leave Washington hours before Joe Biden is sworn in as president. We get more from ABC's Karen Travers in Washington.
President Trump, who loves the pomp and circumstance parts of the job, will get a military send-off Wednesday at Joint Base Andrews outside of Washington. A military band, a red carpet flanked by service members before he boards Air Force One for one final flight as president. Not happening Wednesday, the traditional Inauguration Day transfer of power events, including a morning visit to the White House by Joe Biden, a shared limo ride up to the Capitol. President Trump, of course, is not going to the inauguration, the first president in more than 150 years to skip it. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Come on, News Time, 12:20. It's time for a Propel Insurance Business Update. Here's Jennifer Koshinka.
If you're looking for a new SUV this year, it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. While upscale features and options can send the price sky high, there are plenty of SUVs under $30,000. MarketWatch has compiled a list of the best, led by the Hyundai Santa Fe. The 2021 model has updated styling and a new dashboard. Others with high ratings include the Honda CR-V, Kia Seltos, Mazda CX-5, and Toyota RAV4. It's a practice that's gaining acceptance in the medical field, hypnosis. New research shows that the practice is useful for alleviating anxiety, warding off pain, and successfully inhibiting certain behaviors such as smoking. Entrepreneurs and investors have started to take notice, creating new apps that aim to popularize hypnosis in a similar way to meditation. A safer alternative to medications like opioids, hypnosis can be a helpful tool for combating the stress and anxiety caused by the pandemic. The stock market is closed today. That's your Money Now.
Money News at 20 and 50 past each hour. We'll get an update on Como traffic next.
Stay home, stay connected, stay informed with Como News on your smart speaker.
Como News 1000 FM 97.7.
I'm Amanda Factor. Here at
Como,
the top
keeps you connected to your world and the latest on the fight against coronavirus on the radio, online, all the time. Como News.